I was told to speak on the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. When I look at this topic and looking at it in the direction of also the theme of the undistracted man of God. Hallelujah. I discovered that anything that will make me not to preach the gospel is a distraction. Hallelujah. Amen. Anything that is not making you evangelist, pastor, apostle, whosoever your ecclesiastical title may be, from not preaching the gospel is a distraction. Hallelujah. So, reconciliation, or mean to reconcile, or is also a way of talking about restoration. Hallelujah. To reconcile means to restore a friend back to his friend. God is our friend. Amen. Hallelujah. To make things compatible or consistent. The end of an estrangement between reconciliation. That is to make things compatible, to make things consistent. That is what is called reconciliation. The end of an estrangement, something that is strange between a human and divinity. God wants us to be reconciled to himself. That was his plan, original plan. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which will be the major bullet we're going to use and then put some flesh to it, and then it will be done. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, which means the person that will be carrying out this ministry of the reconciliation must be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. That is how we know those who are born again, that all their old lives are passed away. And then also that, behold, all things are become new. So if you are here and you have not passed through the experience of being born again, you may not comfortably carry this ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Because seven sons of Sceva tried it. Because they saw people preaching the gospel. They saw Paul preaching. And they wanted also to do the same. The Bible said that when they told a madman, "We command you, this foul spirit, get out of him," the madman, by censor, but not Holy Spirit. You know, when we talk about, the last speaker talked about the Holy Spirit, there is also what is called evil spirit. So by the censor of the evil spirit, he was able to know that these ones doesn't have operational permits. Hallelujah. And then he chased them and made them be naked. I used to say it all the time, that one madman made seven same men naked. Therefore, we had eight mad people. Because they were not born again. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a pastor here and you're not born again, if you're a pastor here and you are not sure that you are still with the baton, then this is opportunity of receiving the baton so that you will not be preaching the Jesus that Paul preached, so that you preach the gospel that you know. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? The next verse. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself. By whom? By Christ. And had given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So, ministry of reconciliation is a gift after being born again. Due process. Praise the Lord. The next verse. To which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So this reconciliation ministry has its own word. It's not anything you like, you use, and then you'll be preaching. There must be something that you are talking which will be Jesus-centered. Let's see verse 22. Can I go ahead? Who is in the media? Please give me the next verse. Okay, 21. Give me 21. Okay, it's 21, not 22. Please. Okay. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want you to understand the drama here. God made Jesus to be sin. He didn't say he was like sin. He made him what? Sin. But I thank God he said, who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made. So a child of God who is born again is made. Hallelujah. 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 That you might be made the righteousness of God in him. What I see in the spirit was a miscarriage of justice. Permit me to use your legal language. Hallelujah. Miscarriage of justice is that somebody committed an offense and another person is punished. So when God wanted to deal with sin, and he now, the sin we committed, he put it upon Jesus Christ. He became sin. But the devil did not see any way to do much, because when he looked at the sin, he looked at the person it is upon, he was not the one who committed the sin. Then he looked at me who committed sin, he saw the righteousness of God on me. It was like carrying the black I supposed to wear and put on Jesus, and then carrying the white of Jesus and put on me. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that is the gospel, that I am qualified to preach the gospel, because somebody was made sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Please show me Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Then Romans 6, 23. The Bible said here, for the wages of sin is death. This is the law. In Deuteronomy, if you see those who commit sin, they say in you're going out, it will not be well with you. Many punishment for sin. But this is not the message of the cross. Hallelujah. The message there is, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. So when you carry the microphone and you are preaching, don't be preaching the wages of sin is death. That one is an old story. The new story is that the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Am I talking to somebody? Some people carry a microphone, they are preaching, they want to reconcile men with God, they will be talking about, you say you are a child of God, you go to church, you commit fornication, you commit this, you commit, and you say it will be well with you. Now, they know that it is not well with them, and you are reminding them, you are wounding them the more. Is somebody hearing me? You are piercing them. If they see stone, they will throw at you. So, but tell them that the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. Is somebody hearing me? Praise the Lord. We were coming yesterday in a Siena bus. The coaster has left, so we were coming behind. A small time, you know children now. This one say, I want to wee. This one say, I want to poo. So we told the bus to clear. So when the car cleared in a filling station, and those who want to wee, I wanted to wee, but it was not pressing much on me. I said I can carry it anymore. So I saw a lady sitting down. I went there and bent down. I was looking to her eyeball to eyeball. This old man, what he want to tell me now? I say, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Then she was looking at me. Then it was when I came close, I discovered all her body was full of tattoo. Then I told her, do you know you have condemned your blood? You cannot even give anybody blood now. He said, I know. I said, so you know? He said, yes. I said, but why did you do it? She told me it was influence of friends. Other people influenced her to do this. That, but later she understood that she had done herself harm. He said, but I have asked God for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you who is seated here something. This, your body, is so connected to your spirit that it is what you do in the flesh that you'll be judged for. And I asked her, maybe it's more time now you follow and collect CCC. He said, God forbid, I will not collect that one. I say, so you know. So now let me ask us a question. We used to read that thing in the scriptures about CCC. And the Bible said, anybody that has that mark will not, he has collected the mark of hell. But it is in the flesh. So you don't use your flesh anyhow and think it's your own. This temple is, the Bible calls it temple. This temple, that's why Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days. So you have your own temple. God gave it to you as a gift. Mind how you handle it. Mind what you do with it so that you'll be qualified to preach the gospel. You will qualify to do what? To preach the gospel. There is a way you keep your flesh and you adorn yourself and do yourself probably all this tattoo and then it become a permanent mark that anytime you tell somebody Jesus loves you, he will tell you what of you. All this snake, scorpion, and python you drew in your body and you are preaching to me. Then you, before you get yourself to begin to now defend the tattoo and defend some other things and begin to say God has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. Nobody sees whether it is true of us. So, but be cautious of your body. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God reconciled us to himself. By who? By Jesus Christ. The question is how? He made Jesus sin that we might be made the righteous. If you forget everything I said, Jesus was made to be what? Sin. That I, in another language, I said, the innocent Son of God was wrongly crucified so that I, the guilty Son of God, will be set free. Did you hear me now? Somebody, I am the one guilty. I have lied. And if I ask now, if you know you have never lied since you were born, nobody will stand up, including the pastors. We were not better than the world before. But the thing is that the innocent Son of God, Jesus, was crucified, was punished, so that I will be made. Somebody say, I am made. The righteousness of God. So if you have not been made, this program is for you. You will be made. Somebody say, I will be made. Hallelujah. He gave away, he gave every believer this assignment in verse 19. Said that we have been given the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Every believer, everybody born again, ministry of reconciliation. That is what we are given. Amen. Any other thing you are doing is Jara. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is a command. Bible or theologians call it a great commission, but great commission is not given written like that in the Bible. But great, the commission means assignment. The great assignment given to us: go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. He did not send us without equipping us. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has given us eternal life so that we will have the potency to be able to preach this word to other people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13, I will just read it and then now, 1 John chapter 11, First John chapter 5, verse 11. Amen. And this is the record. Somebody say record. That God has given unto us what? Eternal life. And this life is in his son. The next verse. He that had the son had this life. And he that had not the son hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Somebody say the name of the Son of God. That ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I was in Ekote Ebene for a program for NECO. And that was a pastor's conference or so. And then I now talk about eternal life. I asked them, if you know that eternal life is the life we're going to live here on earth, or the one, is it the one we live in heaven? If you know it's the one we live on earth, raise your hand. The church, the house divided. Pastors, so I'm not talking of members. Pastors divided into two. Half said, eternal life is the one we will live when we get to heaven. Then the other one said, it is the one we are going to live here on earth. Then when I read the scripture, all mouth closed. The Bible said this is the record. Record is written after an event has taken place. So eternal life has been given to us if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this one said, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may also know that you have what? Somebody say, I have eternal life. One day, I put my car key in my pocket and I was looking for it. I searched for the turning seat, the first, everything. What am I looking for? My car key. Where is my car key? It's with me. You have eternal life. Somebody say, I have eternal life. Somebody say, I have eternal life. It is this life in you, God is commissioning you to go and share it. There is a sharing formula with God. And that is why he duplicates his spirit in us, so that we will help him in this ministry of reconciliation. His major mission for coming is to reconcile men to God. And then he became the sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. And when we are made the righteousness of God, are we now going to be like people who go to hospital? People who you bring them to fellowship, teach them the word of God, small time they are away. You ask them, they say, I've come, I was sick, I have been healed. Will I remain in the hospital? Which means the church is what? Hospital for healing. Healing signs and wonders are evidences to convince a person that Jesus Christ is Lord. For you to serve him all the days of your life. And then some of us also have retired from preaching the gospel. Let me send them, let them go. Hallelujah. If you are here and you used to send people to go and preach, and you don't go to preach, then you have retired. And those who are retired are supposed to go back to heaven. Praise God. So you are running a risk of God calling you back home because you are not useful any longer. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't fail it unless there is something that takes me away. I have evangelists that used to go out. On Tuesday, I followed them. I used to do what? I followed them. But one thing is that when I followed them, it's like they will switch off and daddy is following. That time, they will remember people they have preached the gospel who were sick and be carrying me to go and pray for it. To go and pray for them. Amen. One thing is this, that if you understand this ministry, God will move you from one level of it to another one. Are you hearing me? Now let's look at the level of Jesus. He came to the well. He saw a woman. He said, give me water to drink. From giving me water to drink, then he now said, okay, if you know the person who is talking to you, would have asked him to give you the living water. Then that is what I call prophetic evangelism. Are you hearing me? Nine saying, don't this say, okay, if you know the person who is talking to you, would have, okay, you said the right thing. You are not married, but you are the person you are with now is your fifth husband. You now counted John, Joseph, Mike, Micah. You counted them. Five. He said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Nobody will tell you, sir, until they discover that there is something inside you. You are here to be made so that you will carry something inside you that will convince other people that you are carrying the truth. Amen. I've forgotten whether it's last Tuesday or so. I went out with my evangelist. There was a person who used to go out with us, who is no longer coming. We went to them and talked with the family, prayed for them. As we were coming out at the gate, I didn't intend that. The Spirit of God said, I should go to that upstairs. That upstairs, I know the owner of the house, but I've never gone there. It's over 15 years or more, they built that house. I knew them when they were living far somewhere. So, but God said, I should go. Now, tell the woman to tell us her problem. So, I told my evangelist, they said, sir, let's go now. I was still asking which one is their flat because I've not gone to that compound. So, but when we reached there, the woman opened, said, ha, it's God that remembered how her problem will fit three trailers. Hallelujah. In fact, because they were numerous, we just said a few things and went. And he has four sons. And these four sons, born as believers, are useless. Some of them are doing this headlock. Some of them are, even we were there, one of them almost came naked. The trouser was, he didn't even care that we were in the parlor. He was just walking anyhow. So then the mother did eyes like this. You see. Praise the Lord. And then we scheduled to come back. I wanted an opportunity for them to gather the children. But unfortunately, that spirit didn't allow them again to come. But the husband at least was present now. And we ministered to them, prayed for them, and left. Hallelujah. Then they had a friend, which is one of my members' son, the first son of a royal highness, a serving royal highness. The first son is, the day I ministered to him, I told him, his name is Salvation. I said, Salvation. You will, God wants you to serve him, but that thing you are taking. He was like, who told me he's taking something? He said, Daddy, Odokwani is equal to her. It's not easy to stop that, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and he's a friend to these four boys. So, but after praying, the testimony now is that that son of the royal highness, for the first time, the mother was testifying, went to Chicken Republic, and bought many things for the first time and came back and handed over to the mother. And the mother was like, what happened? This person is so terrible that the mother used to be afraid if the Igwe is not around, that he might strangle him. Sometimes he would just come into the bedroom, eye red, and be talking anyhow. If you do something now, I will deal with you. The woman will, his son. But this time now that he bought something and came and appreciated the mother. What I want to tell you is that the gospel works. It's the only power we have to change lives. So don't keep quiet. Somebody say, I will not keep quiet. Somebody say, I will not keep quiet. Now let's say, how do we enter into the business of reconciling men with God? How do we enter? Hallelujah. Number one, understanding the ministry or reconciliation plan of God. You have to understand it yourself. If you understand it, you will not be preaching condemnation. Sin is so mighty, but don't magnify it. Are you hearing me? There is an antidote for sin. And that is that the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Don't consider what some people even go into agreement to serve hell. Write it down. All you need is to, the entry point. You just need to give your life to Jesus and that will cancel the rest. Say I. Somebody say I. God has given you the power. He said, go into the world, preach the gospel. Are you hearing me? He said, this sign shall follow you. You have power to declare and it will come to pass. I will cancel it. Then lead the person to say something. Let me tell you, covenants are entered through verbal words. Are you hearing me? Am I correct? Very correct. Hallelujah. Amen. With verbal communication, you cancel it. Just lead the person to Christ. Don't count the magnitude of his sin. then immediately you have done that, then you begin to assure the person that God has forgiven him. He might be doubting it. Is it just like that? Are you hearing me? Is it just like that? Then declare what will happen next. And it will be so. The person will notice a change in his life or in her life. The person will notice, but there must be follow up. Somebody say follow up. You don't preach to somebody and just let the person. That's why I advised you last time I ministered here. Have name. Amen. I mean, have a record of your converts. Hallelujah. And this reminds me of this man, Onyebula Godwin. I went out with an evangelist to go and preach. And the Lord directed me to him. I was not sure whether it was him, but there were two persons. I was talking to them vehemently, telling them they need to give their life to Jesus. But the other one was doing somehow. But that one was listening. After preaching, do you know what he said? He said, Pastor, you have spoiled my business. In short, what I decided to do, you just came here and so you have spoiled it. He now told me the problem his landlord, he said he has houses, but he's leaving that place because he has a cold room. It's on the strategic road. So that's why he became a tenant. He went and packed things they used to do cold room. He said he built cold room for people. So he has money. He was telling me, I have counted my 100 million, 200 million, I have money. But the problem is that my landlord made me angry. That he packed something and the landlord went and carried those things and sold and told him that thieves came. That he made him to go the way, you know, the way of unbelievers, to find out what happened. And they showed him in the mirror how landlord entered and how he did everything. And then the man now said, should I stop the landlord? He said, no, leave him. He came, and as he was reasoning what to do, that was when I came to preach to him. Have you seen the business I spoke for him? That was the business I spoke for him. I came to preach to him. And he gave his life to Christ. He confessed everything I said. I prayed for him. I put his name here in my paper because I must follow him up. Are you hearing what we are saying? The ministry of reconciliation is not one-way traffic. Just preach to the person. Except you are in a bus. If you scatter the seed, some will germinate. Then God knows how to follow them up. But where you have opportunity to follow somebody up, don't drop it. Amen. Hallelujah. We are talking about the ministry of reconciliation. So as we talk about understanding the mystery of reconciliation plan for God, God used reconciliation. He used restoration. He used justification. He used redemption. When you talk about redemption through the blood, which I said he was made sin, that we might be made what? Righteous. Then justification, in that the wages of sin is death. We are supposed to die. But God justified us by removing the judgment that was supposed to be on our head. That is still talking about this same ministry of reconciliation. Restoration is probably we were far away from God, but God restored us. Some of us here will be restored. Some of us we were preaching before. Some of us were living right before. We are here now to be sharpened, that we might get back the fire. And understand that it is our responsibility to preach. And to the ministry of preaching, there is no graduation. There is no prof. I'm now a professor. Send the junior lecturers to go and teach the people. You must do it yourself. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, I will do it myself. Every opportunity you have, there must be a window to enter. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me say this because our big daddy is not here. If he's here, I will not say it. Amen. He was coming back from foreign mission from Mali, and he entered plane to land in Cote d'Ivoire. And the young lady, very fine lady, was sitting by his side and said, where are you going? He said, I'm a pastor, I'm a missionary. Where are you going? Oh, you're going to Cote d'Ivoire. I'm going to Cote d'Ivoire too. Before you know, the young lady carry complimentary car, give daddy. He said, give me a call. Hey, somebody say hey. Daddy has told him he's a child of God and probably preached to her, but she waved the preaching. You know, this international psychedelic ladies. So he said, give me a call. Daddy was battling with it, the card given to him. He said, when it was time to leave the plane, he waited the girl to leave first, and he dropped the card on the seat so that there will be no temptation to call that girl later. Anything that will be temptation to you in ministry, somebody say, jump and pass. If you win a soul that is opposite sex and you feel that it might be a temptation, find another lady to follow that person up. Don't say you are too strong. You will do it. Because some people has from follow up, follow. Am I talking to somebody? So if you are a child of God, win souls, learn also to hand over the one you cannot handle. You might be a boy, and also that person is a man, but you have to know your capacity. If I win somebody like Dr. Kaff, I will hand him over to Dr. Kaff. Big man, talk to big man. Are you hearing me? If you win somebody that is of your level, you are born again, you speak in tongue. But some people also speak in tongue in their own cult group. If you are not sure, instead of accusing Satan when you sleep, better hand the person over to somebody who is experienced. Some of you can say, okay, I want you to come and see our pastor. What you are trying to do is to do what? To hand over so that the person will be handled at the level. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My time is up, but I want to round up by saying, number two, the making of a gospel minister, that disciples are made. They are what? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go and make what? Disciples. Hallelujah. Go and make what? Disciples. Please put Romans chapter 1, verse 11 for me. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be able to be established. So somebody should aim to establish a soul. Praise God. Number three, equipping for the gospel. There is equipment necessary for the gospel. The oil of God upon your head will determine how far you will go. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said that the Spirit of God is upon me, for God has anointed me to do what? To preach. To do what? To preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to deliverance to those who are in captive. So many years ago, when I was a younger believer, I can stay 3 hours praying for somebody for deliverance. Sometimes doing karat to make sure the thing will work. You see it? But as you grow, you now trust the Lord that gave you the commission. That when you say something, it is not you that will fulfill it. God will establish it. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. So there is growth in it. In Romans chapter 11, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So you cannot be ashamed of this gospel. Some of us are ashamed. Some of us wrap their Bible. Some of us, especially with phone now, nobody carries Bible. But make sure you have your hardcover Bible. Even if you have one on your phone, there will be a time you need that hardcover one to show your identity. If you're coming back from Navy, you tell police you are coming from Navy, they will ask you, where is your Bible? And if you show them phone, they will seize the phone. You cannot tell them Bible is in your phone because they will think it's a camouflage. Hallelujah. Finally, number four, fresh oil is required for this reconciliation ministry. Hallelujah. In Psalm 23, verse 5, Psalm 23, 5, I'm trying to pray now. Psalm 23, verse 5. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So when you are going to preach, you are going in the presence of your enemies, those who are occulting, those who are, but God is the one who sent you. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. Somebody say, very important. The God that anointed your head with oil will cause your cup to run over. That any time the amount of oil in your head is what is going to determine your productivity. Are you hearing me, somebody? Remember the other place I read, it said, the Spirit of God is upon me because God has anointed me. Somebody here, God will anoint you. So that you have the capacity to preach the gospel. The preaching the gospel is a warfare. It's like going to battle. And if you are not equipped and go to battle, you have accidents. There is what we call spiritual accident. But nobody here will have it in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 2, the power of God came in the Acts of the Apostles 1:8. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This morning, I declare that you are part of the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That anybody that has been weak, receive strength now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I must preach the gospel. I receive grace. I receive power to preach the gospel. Somebody say, amen. Amen.